All right, let's grab our Bibles, turn to the book of John. The Gospel according to John, chapter 14. Somewhere I've got notes. Just got to get them. Book of John, chapter 14. Let's all stand reverence to God's word. Thank you for that song. That was a beautiful song. John 14, verse 1. It's a very familiar passage. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning, Lord, we give all the praise and honor and glory to you. This morning, Lord, we do ask blessings on this service, that you would work in each heart. Your will be done in each life and each heart here. Lord, all of those that are hearing or watching this message or will be hearing it later on sermon audio, just ask, Lord, that you would speak to them. Speak to their hearts. Lord, and we thank you. Lord, I ask you to hide me behind the cross. It's nothing to do with me. It's all about Jesus. And in his name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. Years and years, for years, this passage has been used to impart some sort of comfort in believers' lives and in their hearts. And they use it when death comes. We use it when trouble or times arise. And as well as in uncertain times. And now that we are definitely living in the last days, I feel it's appropriate that we go back through these verses again, because I think too many times we just read them, and if we're not careful, they'll just become meaningless words. Amen. We just read them. Hopefully everybody in here reads the Bible daily. And if we're not careful, it'll get just like a daily routine. We'll just go through the motions and read it without letting it really penetrate us. The Bible tells us that we're in the last days. Never before, to be honest, has God's people lived in such revealing times as what we're living in now, and as far as prophecy is concerned, and even the words of our Lord in Matthew 24. These words, they take on a great meaning as we watch things unfold at really a rapid pace. Things are really, really taking off, and more so just in the last 3 or 4 years. It has really just hit high gear. Matthew 24, verse 1 says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him, for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now let me give you a hint in Matthew 24. That particular wording right there, it's already happened. And if you'll read in other accounts, he says, when you see the armies compass Jerusalem, and to be honest with you, that took place in 70 AD. Titus and the Roman army came in and destroyed that place. And they didn't leave a stone laying there. I know people that's been there and they've looked at it. And it was amazing what took place. But Jesus told them it would. Now, mind you, the rest of 24 is just as important, but the majority of it hasn't happened yet. Verse 3, it says, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" They jumped way ahead because, honestly, they thought it was going to happen like real soon. They was ready for it to happen immediately. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Now, it's important that we realize that, like I just mentioned, the majority of Matthew 24 is speaking of the tribulation period, which isn't here yet. And I don't know when it'll be here. I can tell you this, once the rapture takes place and we're out of here, then it's an open door for it. But although that we see these things starting to blossom, we see all of this taking hold. How many of you ever read about other people that claim to be Christ? There's people out there that do. Hey, that nut over there in Waco. He claimed to be Jesus. There's some goofball over there in the Philippines. He claims to be Jesus. People flock after these folk. There's been people over the years that have done that. We're seeing that. There's rumors of wars that go on. There are wars that happen. There's nations go against nations. All of these things is really coming to be. But I want to, not so much this is part of the message, but I want to tell you something. Don't panic when you see things falling apart in the United States. Because the U.S. ain't in the Bible.
That's right. Amen.
You want to know how to look and how to know that things are getting close for Jesus to rapture us out of here? Watch Israel.
Amen.
That's the time clock for everybody. It's all based on Israel. It has nothing to do with us. Don't have anything to do with South America. It's all about that part of the world. You watch that time clock over there. You read the prophecies. And when you see what is going on over there, listen, you better pack a bag. We ain't far off. People say, well, you know, they've been telling us that since Paul was on earth. Well, maybe true. Paul even looked for it. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of things in Paul's day. And let me get something cleared real quick. What had to happen before Jesus could come back? He had to die on the cross. That was it. He had to die on the cross, be buried in the resurrection, and then he could have went poof and turned right around and come back and pulled them out. But he's long-suffering, amen, and I'm glad he is. But there is nothing that has to happen before the rapture. What we're seeing going on is the tribulation period stuff. And so it's like, maybe we ought to be getting ready. Maybe we ought to be considering that, hey, what Peter said, you know, people laugh and do you really think Jesus is coming back? Scoffers, you know. Do you really think, Marty, do you really think he is?
Yes.
It's been 2,000 years. They've been preaching it, brother. Listen, I've sat under preacher after preacher after preacher. Now, you better get ready. Jesus could return at any time. Well, that's true. But it ain't happened yet.
Amen.
Where's he at? How come he ain't here yet? You know, they were saying the same thing about Noah. You old fool. What are you doing building that stupid thing? You don't even know what an ark is. You know, and it ain't never rained, Noah. What are you talking about flooding the earth? Come on. They might have had some droughts. I don't know. I don't think they did, but if they did, he'd probably think it. You know, you got to wonder. Some guy's walking along there, and his son says, "What's this guy keep doing this for, Dad?" "Oh, son, he's been doing that for the last 60 years. Don't pay attention to him. Folk in this world is crazy. That's the way people look at us. We stand here, especially preachers, stand here and we preach and we say, "Hey, better get ready. Jesus is coming back." But guess what? There was a day that all of a sudden, boom, the water started coming up and the rain started coming down and people are like, "Uh-oh." You know, that was, I would imagine some of them even had my thoughts that I've had on occasions. "Oh, that ain't good." You know, might have been. Listen, 2 Timothy 3:1 says, "This know, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, we need to understand that. In the last days, perilous times shall come. "For men shall be lovers of them own selves," of their own selves. Ah, sound like today? "Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection." As much as I don't like the Clintons, and as much as I don't like Obama and his wife and Hillary and well, I already named her, poor old Nancy Pelosi, as much as I really don't, I'm not wild about them folks and their thought patterns, I've never wished any of them would just up and die. You know, it's like, I don't know, I can't, I have a hard time doing that with anybody. But you telling me natural affections are gone. There's people putting it all out there on Twitter. "Well, I hope they all die from COVID." Talking about Trump and his wife and these other senators. And they'll go and abort their baby like it's a dog. Well, be honest with you. Listen, I can go and get a litter of puppies and kill them and I'll go to jail. But if I want to, I can send my girlfriend... I forgot to tell you. I can send her and say, "Hey, you need an abortion." That's sad, isn't it? Amen. That we think more of an animal than we do our own kind. It's without natural affection. Tell me we're not in the last days. Church breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. They don't like folk that do good. They can't stomach people that do good. They have a problem. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of men, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And Paul said, from such turn away. We're to turn away from that stuff. There are people out here, they got a form of godliness, but they deny the power of Jesus Christ. They want to look good and they want to... But they deny the power of Jesus Christ. You see, we're in the last days. But I'm going to be honest with you. When I read about being in the last days, it excites me. Amen. Because I'm like, when I look at prophecy and when I look at being in the last days and when I see these things that the Bible is talking about that It isn't supposed to happen until the tribulation period, but we're seeing it set up. I get excited because, hey, we're about to leave. I'm with Tony on that. Get me a bracelet that says DNR on it. You find me laying on the ground, don't give me mouth to mouth because I'm going to hurt you if I wake up. I just soon go on. Going up there and start living the good life. Now, look at John 13, because I want to set up something here. Look at John 13 and verse 31. "Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children..." Now, I want you to understand, he's talking to his apostles right now. They've been together in the upper room, and they're discussing some things. And this is what he tells them: little children, yet a little while, I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Now, if you'll back up a few days when you're studying the gospel, you'll find out they were bickering and arguing. Jesus is telling them, he said, listen, you need to love one another. I'm about to leave here. You guys need to understand, I'm about to be gone and you can't go right now. You need to get it together and love one another. Verse 35 says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Now, I want to explain something. Listen, they were very sad. They were really troubled. They had been with Jesus. They had watched him. He'd say, cast your net on the other side, fill it up with fish. He walked on water. Peter got out of the boat and walked on water. Forget about the fact that he sunk. You ever walked on water? I ain't, so I can't knock him for it. I've tried it, but it don't work. Unless you're doing about 40 behind a boat. You can skim the top of the water. I ain't tried to walk it yet. They were upset. They were depressed. They didn't like hearing this. They had watched him and he healed people, and he had brought people from the dead like Lazarus. And there was others that he had done so many good things, and they were friends with him. They were very close to him. And they were actually realizing who he really was. They hadn't got it all together yet, but they were realizing who he really was. They were getting it in their head. There's that part in there, because Peter says, you're the Son of God, you're the Messiah. But later on, we know Peter kind of done some things, and you're like, because Peter was fighting with himself just like we do. And they were very troubled, and they were upset. And I understand that. Look at the first three verses of chapter 14. He tells them, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In other words, really, you can put, you trust God, trust me. Because they understood who God was. But he said, trust me as well. He said, you believe in God, believe in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. According to Jesus, heaven is a real place. It's his Father's house. According to Jesus, it's where God dwells and where Jesus sits on the right hand of God today. It's there. Tell me where it's at. I don't know. We know it's in the north, according to what you read in Isaiah. If you read in Isaiah, Lucifer gave that away. He said it's north. He's going to be higher than God. We know it's up there somewhere, but hey, I don't know. But he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He was letting them know, listen, there is a real place called heaven. My Father is there. And he later went and sat down on the right hand. And when you read the account of Stephen, he was standing. And Stephen was being stoned to death. And he stood up and said, come on home. You know, that's what he does when we die. He welcomes us in. Listen, there shouldn't be a better comfort to anybody in here that's lost a loved one that says they know Jesus. Because they're in heaven. They're not here going through the same garbage we're going through. And they don't have to look. They don't have to look at it day after day after day and say, when is this going to end? When is all this going to cease? Is COVID a bad, real thing? I don't know. The flu's real. 99% of people get it and get over it. 95% didn't even know they had it until they got tested. I mean, personally, I think I've had it, but anyway. But one day we're going to be where God is. Now, it's spoken of as a kingdom. 2 Peter 1:11 says, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." It's talked of as an inheritance. 1 Peter 1:4 says, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Listen, my dad, I don't know what he'll leave me. Probably junk from his Marines life. Maybe some bills. He's not going to leave me a whole lot because I'm not one of those trust fund babies. I don't have all of that. I ain't saying, "Come on, Dad, die so I can get your million and a half," because he ain't got it. And if he does, I'm going to be mad because I'd have wanted to know it before he died. But anyway, I'm not one of them. But my inheritance is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's waiting in the place that he went and prepared for me. Amen. That ought to help us. The whole idea of him even saying what he was saying was to comfort these guys, because they were worried. They had it in their mind, well, hey, Jesus is going to, the Messiah shows up, and we're going to get it all together, and eventually we're going to jump on the Romans, kick their hind ends, and we're going to take over and get everything back to normal. That's what they had in mind. And they're like, "Wait a minute, you about to what?" They wasn't interested in that. They were very depressed, and he was telling them what lies ahead. They have an inheritance. And by the way, if you're one of those lucky ones that your parents is going to leave you $5 million, you better watch out, because somebody can get it from you. They can take it away from you if they got the right money and the right lawyer. You can't leave the inheritance that Jesus gives you. You can't lose it. There ain't nobody can take it from you. You'll have it. It's a country, a city. Hebrews 11:16 said, "But now they desire a better country." That is, in heavenly. "Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." He's preparing us a place. Somebody asked me today, "Well, is it right there in heaven?" I don't know if it's in heaven or not, because I know the old heaven and the old earth is going to pass away. There's going to be a new heaven and new earth. So apparently Jesus is commuting to build this new heaven. I don't know how all that works, but he's building us a new place. And then it's a home. Listen, there's a song I like to sing it. Some guys named the Lindsay Brothers sing it. It's called "Some Call It Heaven, I Call It Home." I think that's the way we ought to look at it. We ought to look at it the way Abraham did. Is we ought to see it and say, you know, we're just passing through here. This world ain't my home. Yeah, I live here right now, but this ain't my home. This is not where I'm going to be. This is not my eternity place. My home is in heaven, and it tells us right here. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." That's where my home is. Verse 2 of chapter 14. Jesus, he's now preparing it for blood washed, born again believers. It will be, listen, it's going to be beautiful. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "I have not seen nor ear heard what lays up there for us, what awaits us." I don't know. I've seen what John tried to describe, and I think he just gave up on describing it, because it was like, over in Revelation, it was finally just to the point is I don't. There's no words for what it's gonna be like. You see, now verse 3 and 4 of that, Thomas questioned. But his question revealed his desire to be with Jesus. You know, and really, he had to know where the Master was going and how himself could get there. That's what I would want to know. If I'd have been standing there with Jesus, it'd have been like, wait a minute. You leaving and you going somewhere that we ain't been. How am I supposed to get there so I can be with you? Because we still got a lot of fishing to do. and Jesus told him. Jesus flat laid it out for him. But listen, heaven is a real place. It's a loving place. But it's an exclusive place. You see, not everybody's going to go to heaven. That's sad, but it's true. We knew a guy in Kentucky. I can't say his name right now. Anyway, he passed on. He's gone to heaven. But he told Sandy one time, he says, you know, he said, we need to be telling everybody about Jesus. But he says, you know, not everybody's going to go. And that's sad. That's a sad thing to think of, that not everybody's going to go, because it takes having trusted Jesus. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other way. You see, Jesus does not simply teach the way or point the way. He doesn't just tell us this is the way you do it. He doesn't just point it to the way. Jesus is the way. Look at John 6, 14, 6. I am the way. Jesus is the way. And that's funny. By the way, you can look in the book of Acts in several places. Look up that statement, the way. That was actually the first names that believers had. Those that are following the way. That's what they were looking for. Barnabas and Saul, the Apostle Paul, was first called Christians at Antioch. But before that, Saul at that time was out hauling people to jail that were of the way. That's an important thing. Jesus being of the way, because he said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And that wipes away any other proposed way to heaven. Good works thrown out the door. Religious ceremonies. Well, I've been a religious person. I've been confirmed in the Catholic Church. I've been baptized and confirmed in the Mormons. I've done this. I've done that. Listen, it don't matter what you've done. If you ain't trusted Jesus, you're not going to go and be with Jesus in heaven. Amen. That's a fact. It's not going to happen. Well, I put money in the offering plate. It don't matter. Costly gifts are thrown out the door. It's all about Jesus. He's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life, and there is no other way around it. He said, I am. Do you realize what that meant when he said, I am? A Jew understood it totally. Moses said to the burning bush, and God spoke to him out of this bush, I'd have run, but well, he had his shoes off. He could. Moses said, I'm going to go off down here to Egypt, and I'm going to tell them that you sent me. Well, by the way, what do I tell them your name is? He said, you tell them I am. Amen. That means he was the existing one. Always has been, always will be. And when Jesus, every time Jesus said that, he was telling them, I'm God. I am him. That's what it meant every time. I challenge you. Look up all the I ams that Christ used. I love my favorite one is over in John chapter 8, about 56, 58 in there. He tells them, he said, before Abraham, and I'm not quoting, he said, before Abraham was, I am. Oh, they got hot because they knew exactly. He just told them, before Abraham, there was me. I'm God. Oh, they got hot with him. They wanted to stone him, and he walked in the midst of him. They didn't even see him. I always liked that. Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ. The assurance that we believers have of a heavenly home at the end of life's road, it really enables us and gives us strength to bear and joyfully with all of life's obstacles and battles that come along the way. You know, with me knowing that, honestly, our future looks kind of scary. It's not looking real good for Christians. And if the right party wins, it'll be a little better for Christians. But still, there's a future out there that it ain't looking good. But you know what enables me to deal with that? The fact that I know that Jesus is preparing a place. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Why are you worried about it? Believe in God, believe also in me. I'm preparing a place for you. And I'm going to take you where I'm at. And here's the way, by the way, Thomas, here's the way to do it. It's through me. It's through Jesus. You see, it enables me to deal with the pressures of what comes. That same assurance God had when he wrote in Hebrews 12:2, it says, for who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Why was it? Because Jesus was a human being. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Eden. If this Garden of Eden, olives. Yeah, Gethsemane. It's up there on the Mount of Olives there. I got it all messed up. He prayed up there. He said, let this cup pass before from me. Let it go by if it's your will. He didn't. He knew this was what's going to happen. But listen, that was his humanity. But you know what he did? He followed it because he knew, I know where I'm going. He would now he had one up on us. He left the splendors of heaven to give you the opportunity to get there. He left what he had, which is what we describe, how beautiful it is, and there's no problems. And he left all that and come down here so that we can all go with him one day. What a blessing that is. That just helps me to live my daily life. Paul, no doubt, had this truth in his mind when he wrote, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans 8:18. The sufferings of the... Listen, how long is life? It's pretty quick. Doesn't happen very long. I don't really... I look back on 60 years and there's days that it's like, wow. But it don't seem that long ago that I was 20 years old. Man, it goes quick. And the older I get, the faster it happens. My years go by really quick anymore. I'm like, boy, I ain't near as far away from 100 as I used to be. I only got 40 more years. I'll be 100 years old. That's like, good grief. And then in this same letter, Paul wrote, and we'll end. He wrote in Romans 8:38, for I am persuaded. I like, you know what? I've had people persuade me of things. Paul said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And that's my question. Are you persuaded, like Paul was, that Jesus is preparing a place? Are you persuaded that he really is preparing a place? Are you persuaded that he's really coming back to get us? Because it's been 2,000 years since he walked out. He left. They took him up and they stood there and they watching him. They just standing out there and they were watching him go. There they were. They just standing there. And this angel shows up and said, "What are you doing? Why are you gazing up there? He's going to come back. What's your problem? Did he get busy? Do what he said do." You see, that's what we're to be doing. I can sit and I can watch TV and I can get all bummed out. It doesn't take long. Just turn on the news, or you don't even have to turn on the news. Turn on the programming, what they have on there, the filth and the garbage that they have on there. And I'm like, is there anything decent? I found something that's decent. But anyway, I get all, and then it's like, wait a minute. Jesus is preparing a place for me. I've got a place that is, it's untouched by sin. You see, what you see standing here has been attacked by sin. All of what we see outside has been attacked by sin. Yeah, it's beautiful, but can you imagine what it was before sin touched it? We mentioned today, somebody said something about how long they live, and back to, you know, Methuselah lived 969 years and some 930, and some of them live 500 and some. And I'm like, but I honestly think it's because sin hadn't destroyed their bodies totally yet. You see, I wake up and I'm thinking, how come I'm hurting? Well, the reason why is because of sin. Well, you sinner, get your life right. Well, that ain't it. Sin is deteriorating my body whether I'm living good or not. You ever notice that the best Christian you ever met in your life, they're dead, most of them, and rotted already? Oh, but the spirit, it's in heaven. It had nothing to do with that. It's sin. It's destroying everything. But they ain't got that problem in heaven. Are you persuaded? Even better yet, do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Is there a time in your life you can honestly say, I have asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me? Because if you hadn't, I'm going to tell you something. If you relying on what grandma told you, are you, because you went to church with her, or because you got baptized when you were 12 years old, or because you put some money in the offering plate one time, you're going to wake up in a place called hell. Amen. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And we have to confess Him and ask Him to save us. The Bible says so. Romans chapter 9, if you don't believe me, chapter 10, verse 9. Look at it. It'll tell you that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And he says in there, whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But we ought to be, honestly, we ought to be happy. We ought to shout hallelujah every morning when we get out of bed. Because the Lord's with us, he give us another day, and I know where I'm going if I die before the day's out. And all of those that we grieve, our loved ones. Listen, I've got loved ones that have passed on. But honestly, that's your flesh grieving for them. You don't want to bring them back to this mess. We need to look at it and say, man, I sure do miss that person. But praise God, they're in heaven. And every chance we get, we ought to let somebody know what the Lord did for us. Let's stand. Sister Diane, every head bowed and every eye closed. We're going to have this in.